live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital, with management saying the emergency department is very busy today, while visiting restrictions also remain in place. A councillor has formally asked the Gaelic of Donegal County Council to call an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC, which is to take place later this month. A leading Donegal GP is warning that it simply isn't viable to bring in free GP care for all children under the age of 13. And the Deputy General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants says she understands the complexity of policing in Donegal. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital, with management saying the emergency department is very busy today. Visiting restrictions also remain in place at the hospital. Restrictions have been in place now for over a month, with 23 people with flu hospitalised over the past week. Visiting is not permitted at this time, and in exceptional cases only, family members may arrange with the ward manager to visit critically ill patients. Donald Kavanagh has more.
SAOTHA has this evening issued a statement saying the hospital has admitted a significant number of ill patients recently, many of whom remain in the emergency department awaiting a bed. The full capacity protocol has now been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. All efforts continue to be made to identify patients who are appropriate for discharge. SAOTHA say a number of elective non-urgent procedures have also been deferred. SAOTHA say they're committed to treating everyone who presents at the emergency department, but does so strictly in order of medical priority. SAOTHA and management at the hospital are apologising for the long wait times which are currently in force. They're urging people in non-emergency situations to go in the first instance to their GP or out-of-hours doctor service. This morning there were 37 people awaiting inpatient beds at the hospital in Letterkenny, according to the INMO, 11 of them on trolleys in the emergency department. Nationally, 760 people were awaiting beds, the highest number ever since the INMO's trolley and ward watch began. The organisation says with a local capacity of 333, that figure would comfortably fill Letterkenny University Hospital more than twice over.
Meanwhile, SIPTU says the overcrowding crisis in emergency departments is causing chaos for ambulance workers across the country. Its members are reporting delays of between 3.5 to 7 hours outside emergency departments. The union says it's outrageous that patients are being treated in the loading bays of hospitals instead of beds. Last month, the inquest into the death of Margaret Callaghan from Letterkenny in January 2018 heard that on the night the 71-year-old died, there were two ambulances parked at the hospital unable to transfer their patients into the care of medical staff. SIP2 divisional organiser Paul Bell says ambulances are delayed because patients aren't getting into hospitals.
The overcrowding crisis in certain hospitals throughout the state is actually hampering the response of the ambulance service, whereby what's happening is that ambulance crews arriving at hospitals cannot discharge their patient into the care of the nursing staff. Once that happens, the ambulance then is out of commission until such time as they manage to be able to clear from the hospital. Due to a flu epidemic and the management of both the emergency departments and wards, what members of the community and the don't understand is that when they call for an ambulance, if an ambulance is caught at an emergency department, that vehicle and that crew is not available to them. And what happens then is that in a local community, that the nearest ambulance is then dispatched. But that ambulance could be 40 minutes away, it could be an hour away, it could be an hour and a half.
A Donegal councillor has formally asked the Gaelic of Donegal County Council to call an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC, which is to take place later this month. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan and Garda Commissioner Drew Harris will attend the event on January the 17th to commemorate those who served in the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Dublin Metropolitan Police prior to Irish independence. However, there's been substantial opposition to the event taking place. Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Osbuck says he wants Donegal County Council to firmly oppose it. At the very least, he says the council should not be represented.
I wrote to the Cathaoirleach Hurlachan by Donegal today requesting that an emergency meeting be called. And the reason why I believe that this is the case, I've been contacted by an unbelievable amount of constituents in relation to this who are absolutely outraged that the Fine Gael government would even consider commemorating those that a lot of people believe were guilty of been a part of the police force that starved millions of people during the Great Hunger, evicting countless amounts of people. I'm hoping that there'll be a positive response, not just from the Cahilla, but also from other councillors as well, because it seems that it's very clear that this is an issue that has enraged quite an awful lot of people. And we have seen other councils and chairpersons and other senior politicians coming out and stating their positions very clearly on this and their opposition to this.
You are opposed to this commemoration taking place. At the very least, what you'll be hoping will come from this emergency meeting, if it takes place, is that Donegal County Council would not be represented at this event.
Well, not alone just that there. I would hope that that would be the case even without an emergency meeting. I would hope that that those that were invited would have strong principles in relation to this here. But what I would be also hoping is that, that from this meeting that there'll be a strong opposition to this, and we will be writing to the Minister, hopefully, and putting our position very clear from Donegal County Council that we oppose the commemoration of the Black and Tans or any of the police force that were so brutal in relation to the resistance movement for Irish independence.
The Deputy General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants says travelling around Donegal yesterday provided her with an insight into the complexity of policing in the county. Antoinette Cunningham was speaking as the AGSI hosts its Donegal AGM this evening in the Villa Rose Hotel in Ballybuffet. This is the first in a series of AGMs set to take place in the coming weeks. Ms Cunningham says there are obvious concerns at present over the future of policing in Donegal.
This is the first AGM for AGSI, and we will be listening to the sergeants and inspectors raising all of the issues pertinent to them and the policing concerns they have around their work in Donegal.
Now, I know every area will say we have our own particular problems, we have a reason that we should be prioritised. You're going to get that argument, I'm sure, here in Donegal, a number of issues, Garda station closures, a large rural population, and in particular, the problems associated with border policing, I'm sure, will feature very strongly at this gathering tonight.
Oh, it absolutely will. I mean, the Garda Commissioner has rolled out a new model of policing called the Operating Policing Model. We don't know yet how it will affect Donegal, because he has said, owing to the complexities of policing in Donegal, and the uncertainty around Brexit, it won't be rolled out in Donegal for a number of months. So I'm sure people would be very concerned about how future policing is going to look in this county. I was lucky to come here yesterday and spend a number of hours driving around Donegal with Paul Wallace and understanding the complexity of policing up around here, and it was fantastic to be able to do that yesterday. Paul is on our national executive. He has served there for over 10 years and he's excellent at bringing the issues around policing in Donegal straight into the executive table in Dublin and making sure the Donegal voice is always heard very loudly and very clearly.
The government says its climate action bill is radical and will be a priority for the new Dáil term next week. Buying new petrol and diesel cars will be banned from 2030, while no NCT certs will be issued for fossil fuel vehicles after 2044. Sian Beattie reports.
Environment Minister Richard Bruton has published details of new laws to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to ensure Ireland meets its climate objectives. Buying new petrol and diesel cars will be banned from 2030, while no NCT certs will be issued for fossil fuel vehicles after 2045. Minister Bruton says it makes sense for families to switch to electric.
By about 2024, it will be much cheaper for a family to opt to electric. The running costs will be so much lower and they will offset any higher initial cost. At the moment, of course, we provide up to €10,000 of subsidy.
But Brian Cook of the Society of the Irish Motor Industry says the government shouldn't be removing supports.
We've already seen the beginning of the starting to withdraw some of the supports for electric vehicles. That's way too early. All supports that are in place should be continued. They should be continued up to 2025 and then reviewed then.
The bill will put a new emissions target into law, along with making carbon budgets a legal requirement. Stop Climate Chaos says it needs to see the details before it can judge, and says all parties must work together before the election. The Irish Farmers Association says the methane reduction targets will cost jobs unless a viable alternative is found, and it says farmers are tired of being kicked around on climate.
A leading Donegal GP is warning that it simply isn't viable to bring in free GP care for all children under the age of 13. The government proposal is being met with serious criticism from a number of organisations. The Irish Medical Organisation has stated that GP services are already at breaking point. Dr James McDade says serious questions need to be answered as to why the government aren't targeting age groups who arguably need it more. He also says that there are not enough GPs in the county and elsewhere for the policy to be a success.
The entire project to me is ill thought out. It's nothing that I would be a great follower of, because first of all, anything and everything that is given free in this country is abused, and that's quite a definitive statement. But everything that's given free is abused, and as a consequence of the last thing, where we were all supporting naturally free medical care for under sixes, babies, and so on. So yes, I think that we all agreed with that. But it has put a huge amount of pressure on the practice. We're now about four or five days. Sometimes people are waiting for an appointment. It's going to go like it is in Northern Ireland. Why don't they do where it is more necessary? Well, you know, bring it from 70 down to 65. People who have got illness are 65 down to 60. These are people who are ill, who are getting ill, who require testing and all of those situations there. Why aren't they bringing it down and at that side of the pendulum? And the other thing about it is, there aren't any GPs. There aren't enough GPs.
Now, the Irish Medical Organisation has claimed today that this policy is an electioneering strategy by the government. As a former government minister, do you believe that that's the case?
Well, it certainly helps. All of these things help, because they'll say, oh God, we're going to get free GP care now for all the 16s. You know, thankfully, you know, a lot of 12 to 16-year-olds aren't the unhealthiest people in the country. Yes, I can see the situation where it applies to young babies and young mothers, and especially mothers for the first time. And
a Derry woman living close to the wildfire crisis in Australia says the fear among people is palpable. 24 people are known to have died as dozens of fires continue to burn. While there has been rain and cooler temperatures, it's expected to get much hotter again later this week. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Dervla says while people are trying to get on with their lives, they're living in constant fear that the fires will spread further.
I'm going into the smell of smoke now that I don't even know what fresh air smells like anymore. It's just getting worse every day. It's not even getting better anymore. It's just getting worse and worse. And there's only so much the firefighters can do as well before they can just give up, you know. It's sad. It's so sad. And there's a lot of wildlife here in Australia. You know, I see it most of the days, kangaroos and koalas and everything, and they're just not going to be the same anymore. Fear everywhere. It's just fear. I've chatted to a lady there, and she was the fear of her horses and her cattle and everything going up in flames. It's fear. But most people, I just think, are just trying to get on with their day-to-day life, but they are living in fear. Of course, it's quite a scary time, but it's just fear everywhere.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where their big sale is now on with up to 50% off across all departments, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past 5 and time's latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Paddy McCourt has been named Derry City's new technical director. The club held a press conference earlier where Chairman Philip O'Doherty outlined plans for the season ahead and confirmed McCourt's new appointment. Having retired towards the end of 2018, McCourt was then named head of Derry City's Youth Academy and has now gained another promotion within the Brandywell side. Derry manager Declan Devine has welcomed McCourt's new role.
He will be responsible for working very closely with myself in terms of recruitment, working towards improving the product on the pitch, everything that goes with running a modern day football club. His role is, again, it's over the club, as mine's is. We're steps ahead of a lot of clubs in Ireland in terms of having the facility that we have here, and that's through the backing of the football club. But again, it's a vision that we have as a backroom team in terms of how we can strive to take the place forward. So Paddy will be very heavily involved in the first team squad, but also overseeing all aspects of the football club moving forward.
Well, Derry start the season on the 14th of February away to Champions Dundalk before they host Finn Harps in the first home game of the year. The chairman also confirmed the budget spend has been increased by 30%. Declan Devine wants to improve on the personnel front.
Well, I think last year we had a very good team. I think this year we've got to have a very good squad. I think whenever I look around the bench on a Friday night, I've got to make sure I'm replacing like with like. I think the modern day game is all about being able to have a tight group that are all pulling in the one direction, having people that are chomping at the bit to get onto the pitch, and that's what we need this year. You only look at the teams in this league: Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, a lot of quality players that don't even make a first team squad on a Friday night. We got to try and claw our way up to them guys. But the one thing that I would say is absolutely we've got to bring more players on. Hopefully we'll have a couple on this week. The work never stops. Even when the transfer window closes, we're always targeting, speaking to people that can help push us on. Yes, it's key to bring on more, but it's also key to keep working and pushing the people that we have here at the moment.
Elsewhere, across Channel Soccer, the weekend's FA Cup third round action comes to a close this evening. Arsenal welcome Leeds United to the Emirates in a repeat of the 1972 final. New Gunners manager Mikel Arteta won the competition twice as a player and twice as a coach with Manchester City. The North Londoners have only been beaten at this stage of the competition once in the last 23 seasons. And both sides will know their potential fourth round opponents heading into the game, with the draw to take place before the kickoff, which is at 5-8 tonight. Manchester City's Nicolas Otamendi could return from injury against Manchester United in the League Cup semi-final tomorrow night. He has missed their last three games due to injury and left Pep Guardiola facing or fielding midfielders Fernandinho and Rodri in defence, as well as youngster Eric Garcia. Chelsea boss Frank Lampard admits that Oliver Giroud could leave the club this month if the right opportunity comes his way. The French striker has started just two games this season and has been linked with a move to Newcastle and West Ham United. Tyrone's Callum McShane is set to train with Adelaide's AFL squad this month. The 2019 All-Star has been heavily linked with a move to the Brisbane Lions, but it now looks like the Crows are in a stronger position to sign the 24-year-old. The club confirmed on their website that they will fly McShane out in the coming weeks for pre-season training. Sean Quigley has become the latest high-profile inter-county footballer to opt out of playing in 2020. The Fermanagh forward won't be featuring for the Erin County this season after confirmation from manager Ryan McMenamin. However, McMenamin did say he would welcome the player back into the setup if he changes his mind. The 2019 Donegal Sports Star Awards launch takes place this evening at 6 o'clock in the Mount Dargal Hotel in Letterkenny. As well as details of the awards function, which will take place on Friday, January 31st, presentations will also be made to the 1979 winners to mark the 40th anniversary. Former Highland Radio Sunday Sport broadcaster Miles Gallagher will formally launch the 2019 awards shortly. In rugby, John Cooney, Marcel Coutez and Jordy Murphy will all be fit for Ulster's crucial Champions Cup game against Clermont Auvergne this coming Saturday. Ulster lead Pool 3 by a point going into Saturday's game in France, where a victory would guarantee Dan McFarlane's side top spot and automatic qualification for the quarterfinals, and that would be with a final home game against Bath on the 18th of January to spare. And just finally, some other rugby news. Johnny Sexton's recovery from his knee injury is set to be stepped up this week, but it's unlikely he'll feature in Leinster's two remaining Heineken Champions Cup games. The out half hasn't played since suffering the injury at the start of December against the Northampton Saints. That's it, Michaela. Next Sport in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a second status yellow wind warning has been issued. Strong gusts will begin to affect Donegal, Galway and Mayo from 1 o'clock tomorrow morning and last until 8 o'clock in the night. Meanwhile, a yellow wind alert for the rest of Connacht, most of Leinster and Cavan and Monaghan will become valid from 6 a.m. It will also last until 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Meanwhile, the search operation for a fisherman missing off the coast of Wexford may be stood down tomorrow due to the strong winds being forecast. Rescue teams have battled rough seas and high winds today in their efforts to find Willie Whelan, who went missing after the trawler he was on sank near Hook Head yesterday. Neville Murphy of Dunmore East RNLI says search crews will be keeping a close eye on conditions.
We are obviously observing the weather. There's a weather warning coming in tonight, so we're going to have to reassess that and make a call on it as a group when our crews come back in. We'll just have to keep an eye on the weather, and there is a possibility that it may be scaled down for tomorrow.
The Long Lane area of Letterkenny and the grounds of Letterkenny University Hospital have been named as litter black spots in the latest Irish Business Against Litter survey. The town has, however, retained its clean status according to the final Litter Eyeball survey of 2019. It is in 18th position in the ranking of 40 towns and cities, a slight drop on last year's 14th position. Spokesperson for Eyeball Connor Morgan says it's still an excellent result for Letterkenny, but the heavily littered sites did bring the town down in the rankings.
In the case of Letterkenny, it was an excellent result overall, but the heavily littered sites of Long Lane and the grounds of the hospital did bring it down to 18th position. That's still a top half performance. slightly down on 14th for our last survey. But nonetheless, Letterkenny struggled at the outset of our league, so we're delighted to have it consistently clean to European norms now.
And I suppose the message really is to, you know, particularly for both those areas who, as you've mentioned, brought the figure down somewhat, to clean up the mess, really.
It's pretty straightforward, really. If the local authority looks at the report we've issued, there's really just two areas to focus on. So I can't see why those areas can't be cleaned up. We'll be revisiting them this summer. And if they're clean, there's no reason why Letterkenny can't be in the top 10 of our rank.
In terms of the overall survey right across the country, was the fact that the grounds of the hospital here up in Donegal quite unique?
Not at all. We found that there was a 20% increase in heavily littered sites generally in towns, and that brought down towns to the point where we had fewer clean towns this year than we had last year. And that's the first time we've bad news to report on towns in many a year. By contrast, the city centres did very well. For the first time, all the major city centres which we surveyed were clean. And I suppose the other point is the disadvantaged areas of our cities, they continue to struggle. None of them have come up clean this time around. So overall, it's a mixed bag with the towns falling back a little.
Fire Search and Rescue have issued a public appeal for cooperation that anyone walking across the Foyle Bridge remains on the pedestrian side at all times. It follows concern locally that taking a shortcut over railings onto a pathway is being interpreted as a person in danger, activating an emergency response with one such incident in recent days. Shauna Regan has more.
At approximately 9 a.m. on Friday morning, police received reports that a person had been observed entering the river. This was based on a member of the public reporting a person jumping over the railings. A full response was activated, which involved two rescue boats, a rapid response vehicle, land, swift water and support crews, while ambulance, fire and police vehicles were also dispatched to the scene. After a thorough search was conducted, it became evident that no one had entered the water, but a person had jumped an area of railings over land as way of a shortcut to a walkway. It's understood this is the first occasion this has happened this year, but it took place on numerous occasions during 2019, instigating a full emergency response. Meanwhile, people are also being reminded never to tamper with life belts after two of them were discovered mid-river by a team during Friday's search. It's estimated that the life belts have been used to successfully save lives along the Foyle on over 40 occasions.
With a nice scattered showers today, some with a risk of hail, a few highs of 79 degrees and moderately fresh westerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital, with management saying the emergency department is very busy today. Visiting restrictions also remain in place at the hospital. A Donegal councillor has formally asked the Gaelic of Donegal County Council to call an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC, which is to take place later this month. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan and Garda Commissioner Drew Harris will attend the event on January the 17th to commemorate those who served in the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Dublin Metropolitan Police prior to Irish independence. A Derry woman living close to the wildfire crisis in Australia says the fear among people is palpable. 24 people are known to have died as dozens of fires continue to burn. And a leading Donegal GP is warning that it simply isn't viable to bring in free GP care for all children under the age of 13. The government proposal is being met with serious criticism from a number of organisations. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 6th of January. The death has taken place of Mark Leckie, Ochnish Rimeltum. His remains will repose at the Sean O'Hare Unit, Stranorder, from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock for service in Rimelton Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot at Bank Cemetery, Rimelton. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Drogheda Ward, Sean O'Hare Unit, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Sarah Curran, Cochin Derry Beg. Sarah's remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Mina Niller, Derry Beg, until 9 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please donations if desired to the Falkara Nursing Unit, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Freddie Wilson, Woodend, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral service at his home on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Family and friends only, please. Burial afterwards in Ballymore Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to a local family leukemia support fund, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Evelyn Maud Park, Neil Lindsay, formerly of 18 Ballynagard Crescent, Woodlands, Coolmore, late of the rectory field. Funeral from her nephew Lindsay's home at 30 Dunalong Road, Brady, tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, followed by service in Holy Trinity Parish Church, Coolmore, at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Christchurch, Buncrana. House strictly private, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Holy Trinity Parish Church, Coolmore, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Gerald McDermott, 325 Ballycommon Estate, Strabann, and formerly of Dunamana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.